Well, I guess the space ended at five. The space ended at 5.5 hours, so I got cut off there for the last few minutes. But I recorded it, and I thought I'd share it with people the last few minutes of the answering this quest for trust, sovereignty, and the path to real freedom. But anyway, I may include the earlier comments that I made in this recording, but I'll paste it here.
That resource is HJR192. Gregory's had his hand up for a long time.
Yeah, go ahead, Gregory.
Okay, let's see. Got to get my mic. I got it on. Okay. Yeah, I was busy adding to the pages I've already shared with you. Several things came up. Everybody talking. You were talking about Babylon. It was mentioned briefly. And, of course, we're in Mystery Babylon, which is just Secret Babylon. It's only secret because we're not seeing it. Although I think a lot of the people on this call are trying to see it and see it clearly. And that's a journey in itself. Also, I think it was Kimberly who mentioned the idea of, the keys to the kingdom is what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Of course, we write about that all the time. That's the name of my podcast and the radio broadcast I got to be on tomorrow. So I'm not going to be able to stay here much longer. But we were told that we would become merchandise. Peter tells us this. Paul actually talks about it as well. David talks about it, that there is a welfare that is a snare and a trap, makes us merchandise, or you could say human resources. That would be a term we'd use today. And of course, nobody likes being a human resource. People like the benefits they get if they got a number to prove that they're a human resource. And so a lot of people don't want to go down the road that a lot of the people on this call seem to be interested in pursuing. And you'll be probably always in the minority unless more people take the shot. Because that's going to probably kill millions beyond what we've already seen. But they've already accepted a lie, which I think is more lethal. And Jesus said the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, and we explained in great detail that the Corban of the Pharisees was a social security system that actually included a number, ID, that was composed of Hebrew letters. Each letter stands for a number, and so therefore you could use this anywhere in the empire. He was looking for hundreds of thousands of members. Along comes this Jesus, who says, don't go that way. He created a different system based on faith, hope, and charity rather than the Corban that forced the offerings of the people, put them back in a Corvi system, much like they were in Egypt, where a portion of their labor had to go to the government, whether you want to believe in corporations or not, that they have a validity. They do have a validity. That's why we're not supposed to make covenants with them, contracts with them, or eat at their tables. It was David who first said that they have a table that should have been for our welfare, but was actually a snare. And Paul quotes David in the New Testament and says, any kind of covetous practice is idolatry. Federal Reserve System, you want to know the first Federal Reserve System? Well, not the first, one of the first after Moses, was the Golden Calf. That was a Federal Reserve Bank. If you look at the Greek, is the Trapezia. It's all these temples were banks. They all had golden statues that they put, and they actually, the Greek word refers to those statues as reserve funds, and it was putting the gold in that statue and creating an allegiance from the people because they didn't have the gold in their pocket. Somebody just mentioned HJR 192, which of course was repealed, but you only have legal title to the gold in your pocket if you have any gold in your pocket. Most people don't. You only have legal title. Legal title is an apparent title that carries with it no beneficial interest. Nobody bought their land since the Federal Reserve got going. Nobody has the capacity to buy land once they waived a right to a portion of their labor with a Social Security number. When they tried to impose the Social Security Act on the legislatures, Charles A. Lindbergh was a congressman from Minnesota at the time. He said, this is going to create the largest trust in the history of the world. Well, it did. And he opposed it, but it did anyway. And the problem is this is why I mentioned before the statute of uses, the statute of mortmain, which goes back to 1100. As far as something written down, even pre-Magna Carta. And a trust within a trust can't stand. So I'm all for people creating family trusts and try to save your family. But Christ had the solution. He said, sit down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands. The only time he commanded his disciples to do anything was to require that the people sit down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands before you distribute any bread. But right after Pentecost, they were rightly dividing the bread from house to house. What bread? Social welfare. All the church was pure religion, private religion, taking care of the needy of society. You don't want to put your parents in a hospital. They will kill them. You're supposed to take care of them yourself. The only way you can probably do that efficiently is to gather together in the tens, hundreds, and thousands and become a network not bound by contract, but bound by love. Loving your neighbor. If you're coveting your neighbor's goods through the men who exercise authority one over the other, which Jesus forbid us to do, you're going to go back into bondage. You're going to become a human resource merchandise. You're probably going to have a number to prove it. And so what we're trying to do is go back to what that early church did before Constantine. Took care of one another through faith, hope, and charity in a network that was able to send relief all over the Roman Empire when there were dearths, shortages of food, which we're going to see again. And they knew each other. They weren't top down. They were forbidden. The ministers were forbidden to exercise authority. We explain all this. We'll talk about it tomorrow on the radio broadcast. Got 1,000 audios out explaining it. All our books are free online. We're not, somebody on this group is accusing us of being a pyramid scheme. They have no proof of that. They can try to argue that. I won't mention their name, but I think they're still on here. We're not a pyramid scheme. We're doing what Christ said, what Moses said, what Abraham said. And I think that that would be valuable to you all as you pursue your quest for liberty under God. But that will be up to you, because we don't exercise authority. We share everything that we have found out, all the laws. I could just go on and on. Allodial title. Yeah, I know all about allodial title. You can't just manufacture and do away with those legal obligations. You know, corporations, you go back, the golem that you hear about in Jewish folklore. It was a monster made of clay that could go about like a human and do what humans do. They're talking about a corporation created by clay tablets written on by cuneiform. I don't really know cuneiform very good, but I've been looking at translating. I mean, there's 100,000 tablets now that they've uncovered that tell you how this system we see is not new. And the solution is not new either. It's written in a book that we can all read, but we don't all understand. I did. Because of stuff I heard here, I've been listening and adding to our website all the time while I listen intently. I did add the Geneva Bible to my online Bible software. I've got a copy. I've got a copy about every kind of Bible there is. But anyway, All our services are free. You can download all our books for free. You can listen to all our podcasts and all our radio broadcasts for free. We have them linked at Preparing You. I've already sent you a couple of links to it. I've added to the page on passports, trying to explain clearly that whether you get a passport as a citizen or a non-citizen, it makes you subject. They say it. They've written it down in ink. That if you get this passport, you are subject to allegiance and the obligations that go along with that, including we can take your labor and force you to work for us. I mean, they've written this out in black and white because we don't read all the terms of this black and white. Doesn't mean that we're not going to be held to it. Now, admittedly, I believe that we can all be free of this, and that's what I'm working to help people seek that freedom, but it's an individual journey, and every individual should walk it, but we should not try to walk it alone, because there are lessons to be learned in walking together, but we should not obligate one another. And so I could have interrupted on a lot of things that were said, a lot of good information, but if you miss certain points, you're going to end up getting caught in the quicksand. And you'll end up fighting in courts all the time and filing papers all the time. And you'll neglect your own family in that process. And we want to strengthen those families. But I'm not going to keep you guys up. I'm going to have to go because I've got a lot of other things to do. And I've got a broadcast in the morning. And I have to brand cows in the afternoon. You can work in the United States without a Social Security number. There's no law that requires you can get a job anywhere. As a matter of fact, I can give you court cases where the government sued an employer because they fired somebody they hired that didn't have a Social Security number and didn't want to get one because he believed it was the mark of the beast. And they won that case against the employer. The government won that case against the employer. But the guy was almost starving while this case was going on, and so he ended up getting a Social Security number just to stay alive. I know lots of people don't have Social Security numbers, some who've never had them. And they, you know, I work every day. Been working for, you know, 70 years. I don't need a number to do it. But the important thing is that we actually repent. That means think differently. A lot of you are thinking differently. That's great. I admire the courage that I hear here of people doing this. But we don't want to miss any elements of the kingdom in this process. And we're going to need to help one another in order for God to help us. He says, you want to be forgiven, you got to forgive others. You want to be given to by God, you're going to need to give to others. You have to care about others. Eventually, people asked when I first started speaking publicly, I don't know how many years ago, 50 years ago, they asked, does this work? And I was shocked at the question. Because to me, it wasn't about it working. It was about it was right. And I finally understood. I'll leave one last anecdote, but what it does, this will get you down on the shores of the Red Sea with all the enemies of God coming down on you with everything they've got, just like the armies of Pharaoh. But you won't have to lift a sword at that time. Not against you owning a gun or a sword. I've got a sword behind me. Got a gun in the next room. I think that's fine. But we all, you know, it's the gospel of peace. God will fight our battles if we actually do what he said. The other thing is, actually it escapes me right now, so I guess it's going to remain secret. I guess I'm going to sign off. I remember now. When the Social Security Act was being proposed, and I not only read the act, I've read the books by the guy who wrote the act. And we quote it all the time in the books that we share with everybody free online. There was an opposition to the Social Security Act. It wasn't going to pass because of this opposition. And guess where it was coming from? the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church opposed the Social Security Act. But a priest, a Jesuit priest, as a matter of fact, met with Eleanor Roosevelt in New York. New York was mentioned on this call. In downtown New York in a big hotel. And the meeting was, I've heard it was 3 hours long at least, but I've also heard that it was 5 hours long. But what I do know is that when they came out of that meeting, the Catholic Church withdrew its objection and it was able to pass. And the only difference I saw after that was they had already built a building to have the Social Security Administration in. But they never used it. They already built it. They built it for that cause, even before they had the bill passed. Just like they were already trying to pass laws that you had to get a COVID shot before COVID even broke out. In Oregon, it would have passed, except my son stopped it. And that's another long story. You can catch me some other time. I'll explain it. Just miraculously, he was in a place that he said a few things, and it stopped it from appearing in front of Oregon legislature. But anyway, what happened was the building was moved to Maryland. and there's a, you talk about the city of London. Well, there's an area in the city of Baltimore that's just like the city of London. It has a constitution older than the United States. And if you're ever near there and a cop is following you, pull in there. He won't give you a ticket in that area of Baltimore. But there'll be no signs. You won't see it. But if you turn, nobody gets a ticket in that little area from the regular police. But it's just like that. And you can read Tupper Saucy's book to find out who used to own the land of Washington, D.C. People were mentioning that too. That land was never sold to the United States federal government. It was cessioned from Maryland. And the owner of that, you can look up the deed on that land, was the Pope. So yeah, he keeps showing up. But we're coming to a point where the real church has got to stand up. I'm not saying that we are. Somebody asked us that yesterday on one of these calls. Our website is hisholychurch.org or .net, but His Holy Church is just a phrase. We're not a corporation of the state. We have no agreements with the state. All our congregations, some of them will have Social Security numbers. Some of them have SIN numbers in Canada or whatever they call it in Australia. And we're working towards the day where all those people can come out, but when they come out, just like they came out of Egypt and they came out at Pentecost, anybody who got the baptism of Christ was kicked out of the Corban system of the Pharisees and Herod. They no longer had to pay into that, but they had to have their own system. And this is what the early church was. It was a system that operated on fervent charity. It wasn't a pyramid scheme. It was from the bottom up. And everybody could walk according to what they believed was right in their own hearts. And so anyway, that's what we teach. This is what we share. This is what we help people do. But thanks for letting me on the call. If anybody has any questions, I'll stay around for a couple more minutes. But then I've got to save my voice for a two-hour broadcast tomorrow. So anyway, thanks for letting me come on.